disabled, primarily ortho and PTSD. And I will tell you, CalPERS is a machine in denying public safety disability applications. They could be on pension, disability pension for 5 years, and if CalPERS gets wind that they had a bad act that caused them, you know, to leave, they will go back and take that money back and make that public safety person pay it back. So the reason why I make a beef out of this is because it is a law that I think is unfair to public safety. They do get out early. Again, they primarily it's ortho and PTSD. Fire, I have read, retired disabled more than police. So the point of saying all that, I mean, for the state, Pete Wilson gave me IOUs. Arnold Schwarzenegger gave us the 555 plan. I testified at the Capitol against Schwarzenegger, all that stuff. So all that in one big bubble to say this. Please find a way to get raises. This contract is swift work. So 3% less, 6% less, 2% less. The union says it all the time, 3% is negligible. I know the state went for a different formula in their last contract, but I don't know if your CalPERS is 80-20 or 90-10. But regardless, please start looking for valid ways to raise, get the staff raises. And if our J20 monies are for public safety, I would urge you guys to continue to give them raises with their money.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close that. Anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay. Bring it back for discussion and or action by council on this item.
Mayor Hammond, I'll make a motion.
Pro Tem Gregory, go ahead.
I recommend we approve the second reading by title only and adopt ordinance 1168, authorizing amendment to the contract between the City of Paso Robles and the Board of Administration of the California Public Retirement System for the management, police, and fire safety member categories.
Second.
Motion by Gregory, second by Beal. Discussion? Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on, discussion item two, we have the approval of the Larry Marr revitalization concept and authorization to complete final design. Do we have Angelica? Yeah, you're doing that one for us. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Tonight, staff is requesting approval of the Larry Moore Park Revitalization Concept Plan, which will allow us to move forward until final design, development of cost estimates, and completion of traffic and environmental review. I think we're still waiting for some slides. Yes. I'll provide a brief overview of the project background, community input, key features, before turning it over to the project landscape architect, who will walk us through the concept in more detail. Uh-oh. Can you go full screen? Thank you. Okay. So Larry Moore Park was originally developed in the 1980s and was part of the Landscape and Lighting District. Over time, limited maintenance funding led to deterioration of park amenities. In 2016, the city assumed ownership and made key improvements. However, the site still does not fully meet current overall community needs, particularly the demand for youth sports field, which was an identified opportunity for future expansion of amenities at Larry Moore Park back in 2016 when the map depicted here on the slide was developed. More recently, funding from the Pioneer Park sale has allowed the city to move forward with formal development of that concept plan, which is the project we are discussing today. To support this effort, the city retained a multidisciplinary team. David Bowles Design is leading landscape architecture, and SWCA is supporting an environmental and transportation analysis. As part of the process, three outreach workshops were conducted, and the concept was reviewed and endorsed by the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. These workshops allowed the community to provide feedback regarding key amenities to include, but also several key concerns were consistently raised by nearby residents. These included traffic and parking impacts, lighting and neighborhood compatibility, increased park usage, and concerns related to safety and homelessness. The concept plan was developed to directly respond to those concerns. Key features include additional parking to reduce overflow, a below-grade lot to minimize visual and noise impacts, controlled access through lockable gates, and youth-focused field design that will limit intensity of use. Lighting has been carefully designed using energy-efficient LED systems to improve visibility while maintaining neighborhood compatibility. The proposed project includes a range of amenities to serve the community. These include 3 youth-focused athletic fields, playgrounds and climbing features, courts, picnic and shaded areas, and senior fitness space. The project also includes restroom storage and connections to the Riverwalk Trail system. Simultaneously, technical studies are underway to support the project. A transportation analysis is evaluating traffic circulation, speed, and intersection performance, while environmental review is being conducted in compliance with CEQA, including biological, cultural, and air quality considerations. Approval of the concept plan is a key milestone that allows the project to move forward into final design and development of construction documents. It also allows completion of the environmental review process, including preparation and public circulation of an initial study mitigated negative declaration, which will be available for public review and will return to council for consideration along with the traffic analysis and final design. City Council has already approved funding to advance the design, with approximately $594,000 remaining to complete final design. This has already been allocated. Once a final design has been approved, future phases will focus on identifying funding for construction. As you are aware, this project will need to be reviewed along with other park priorities, including the Beechwood Park, the Parks and Trail Master Plan, and potentially additional West Side Park space. Tonight's request is to approve the concept plan and authorize staff to proceed with final design. At this time, I'll turn it over to Gary Vasquez with David Bowles Design to walk us through the concept drawings and provide additional details.
Thank you, Ann Elkin. Larry?
Good evening. Gary Vasquez with David Bowles Design. I'm the Director of Design. I'm happy tonight to present the concept plan for Larry Moore Park. This process started late 2024, I believe, when we first kicked off our community meeting on the site, where we had a pretty good attendance, and we walked around the site. We asked the participants to be a landscape architect for a day. They shared with us all their wish list items, if you will, that they would like to see go into this park site. They also shared with us a lot of their concerns about potential flooding, homeless coming from the riverbed. We heard a lot of that tonight. Lighting issues, traffic issues. We took all that into consideration, and this is where we're at today. I think it's a pretty much a consensus plan. Now, not everything that people wanted to see in this park went in the park, I have to say. There were some things that didn't quite make the list so far, but it's not too late to add things here and there, obviously, as we move forward on this. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the parking. There was concerns about on-site, off-site parking. And the layout of the parking you see there is kind of in a linear fashion along Riverbank Road. And the main entrance to the park with the vehicle would be off Bridgegate and Riverbank Lane there. That point of park entrance is the low point, and you can drive in and go north to the right, or go south to the left. There is one point that a vehicle can enter, which is at that Bridgegate Lane. But there are 2 points of access. We thought that this was, again, this plan kind of evolved from the previous concept. There would be an additional point to access the parking lot to prevent any kind of traffic backup in the parking lot. So that you can kind of see that on the south end of the design there. We designed the parking lot to be lower than Riverbank Lane for a couple reasons. We realize that this park will most likely will be utilized in the evening, and there was a lot of concern about headlights and things like that. So by taking into consideration the existing topography, that parking lot is lower than the elevation of Riverbank Lane. And all the parking spaces are pointing or head in pointed in the direction of the Salinas River there. So headlights would be actually pointed out towards the field itself. Parking is, we were able to get about 90 plus parking spaces, about 45 plus to the north of the main entrance and 45 to the south of that main entrance. There are a couple of features that kind of dictated how things got laid out within our park area there. I don't know if you can see number 26 there. That is an existing drain swale that drains water from the adjacent neighborhood. And then there's two of them actually. The 26 is one on the south, and then one on kind of the northern part, 26. So rather than, you know, we didn't want to really touch those. We wanted to really take those elements and maybe even enhance them and make them incorporate those into the park design itself. So those are actually enhanced little drain swales, riparian areas that currently have a lot of willows and things like that, and we would add more willows, more sycamore, more riparian type plantings in both those drain swales. But what it creates are kind of three separate areas in the park. The further south area there, I'm going to show you some enlargements in a second and get a better idea, but real quickly, we got a major, the main playground area on the south side. The middle section or the core of the park is where you see two of the fields. And the kind of the northern part of that little pork chop area is more of what we would you would see more of passive activity, I guess, or passive space there. So let me go to this next slide here. This is the playground I just mentioned. It's on the southern end of the park. By creating the linear parking lot, you're kind of spreading out the part of the parking along the entire park site. So kind of you're getting people to the entire park there. This playground itself, we thought, believe it or not, the Salinas River does have a beaver. There is a group in San Luis Obispo that is in trying to reintroduce the beaver to the Salinas River. I'm not sure how successful they are, but that kind of sparked an idea of how we can incorporate that theme into the play area. So this playground is kind of a real play experience. It will be a real play experience for kids. It'll be undulating play surfacing. The blue that you see kind of running down the playground there would be kind of assimilated, if you will, a creek or a river. We'll have some kind of log bridge net climbers, things like that. It'll be kind of an imaginative, really fun, I think, play environment. There is a company that actually does beaver dams out of these these large logs. So it's going to be an imaginative kind of play environment for kids. We'll also have the lower brown, number 16, is a restroom facility. Currently, you do have a restroom on the site. We would be proposing both this new restroom as well as the newer restroom I'll show you in a second. To the right of the main kind of playground would be another play area, primarily for the younger kids, the 2 to 5 year olds, in and amongst a pollinating type garden featuring plants that are pollinators that attract the bees and the butterflies and things like that. So it's kind of an interpretive play environment for young kids. And I should say, the main playground itself would be designed in a way, and this play equipment would be all-inclusive in terms of attracting people of different ages and different play abilities as well. So it wouldn't just be one major play structure, but play elements that are scattered in and amongst the playground, and that they would all be accessible and attract kids and of all play levels, skill levels. So character images on the right there kind of gives you an idea of what we were kind of striving for. So as we move more towards the core of the park or the middle of the park, that's where we find, I think, more of the active spaces there. What you're seeing, what we're looking at, are two baseball fields. The size of those fields would be 250-foot outfield fences. That's for kids usually 12 years old that play baseball. There are also adequate fields for girls, fast pitch, slow pitch, softball. There would be temporary fencing in the outfield because hopefully this field could also be used for soccer. The soccer field overlay that you see there would accommodate a U12 U12 age soccer kids that play U12. And we would have, for the baseball fields, shaded spectator bleachers. We would also have the dugouts, bullpens for both fields. And each field would also have an equipment storage facility for field prep that's always usually required. We're talking about lighting these fields here. These would be lit. And to the right, again, some kind of character images of what this could look like. I should mention these, we found these silos that can be converted into picnic shade shelters. So number 9 there, there's these kind of the gray circles, pinwheels, and in the character image that you see on the lower right there, that's kind of a silo that's been modified that we thought could be a unique kind of feature within this particular park. And I'm going to go down to this area here. This kind of brownish beige kind of piano key pattern element is a designed shade canopy that this whole thing is what we're referring to as a paseo. Underneath that shade canopy, you could drive food trucks and other vehicles underneath there, and this is kind of becomes kind of a special shaded place for the community to use for farmers market, things like that. So more of a community use space there adjacent to the fields. And number 5, the new restroom building there. And to the right of the restroom building, you see this kind of multiple green organic shaped element. That is actually a full court basketball court. We thought we could probably do something kind of creative and interesting with the court surfacing. And adjacent to that would be a court used for smaller kids for, I think they call it a drop ball. It's just another hard court kind of play feature that kind of fits in really nice there. I didn't mention about the circulation around the park, but all those walkways, most of those walkways around the perimeter of the park would be 10 feet in width. That's a width that would be drivable for a park maintenance or a patrol vehicle, something like that. And we're proposing to replace 2 of the existing bridges that cross the drain swales. You see one here. The new bridges would be vehicle rated, so you could actually drive a pickup truck across those crossings there. And if you were to do a loop around the entire park, if you were to jog or walk around the entire park, It would be about a mile loop, so you can kind of gauge how much exercise you want. This area is more of what I call the, what we're referring to as a more of a passive park. It would have a native garden, some a native California native plant gardens with trails, decomposed granite meandering trails through it. It would have a spot where it would provide exercise, large climbing rocks that would attract more of the older kids, teenagers, young adults, things like that. Number four, that little oval you see there, would be a climbing rock, a slack line. If you know what a slack line is, there's a picture of a person kind of balancing, trying to navigate a slack line. And again, this kind of custom shade element that we would like to see could be incorporated again, is incorporated in this passive area here. Underneath that, we would like to propose more outdoor fitness equipment geared towards the senior-friendly outdoor fitness with some picnic areas. Again, the silo shade structure, again, incorporated and kind of repeated through all these different areas. So we modeled a few of these to kind of give you a better idea of what our vision was for these areas. The bottom left was kind of looking down what I refer to as the Paseo. It would be a wide enough paved area, again, to get a vehicle in and out of there, even a food truck, if you will. But also part of that would be spaces for seating, for gathering, things like that. And the upper right kind of gives you an idea of this full court basketball in proximity to the Paseo. And then the lower right, more shade canopies around the ball fields. This is some modeling we did early on of the playground itself. And you can kind of see in the upper right, maybe some net bridge crossing the rivers. We'd have embankment slides. We try to incorporate as much shade as we can. That's always something that is very desirable that we heard from the input we received. And the lower right is taking these silos and grain silos and modifying them and providing shade as well as spots to sit and picnic. Lighting was a big concern, so we put together this board just to illustrate some of the newer technology when it comes to field lighting and just general lighting in general. And it primarily has to do with the fixtures that they use to really direct and control the lighting so you don't have a lot of overspill. And that was a concern of especially the neighbors overlooking the park. They don't want a big light fixture, you know, shining right at them in their living room. So this is our way of trying to explain to them with the new lighting fixtures, we can control the lighting and get the lighting directly on the fields or on the use spaces, on the spaces that are going to be used. I think that the parking on the lower left image there, plan view showing a parking lot, that kind of gives you a good idea of really how much you can cut off the lighting and control the lighting. So I think this was an effective tool that we shared with the community at one of the workshops and review sessions we had. And I haven't heard any complaints sent after that. So anyway, I'll end with that. I'm happy to hear your comments, and I'm here to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions of Councilman Bausch?
Gary, thanks. Great presentation. Just a quick couple of questions. The one of the issues that came up during the design, the fall from the bathroom, being that the parking lot is going to be below street level, the fall to the sanitary in the street. Did we get a chance to look at that?
There is currently a restroom out there, and it's currently below the street as well. Our engineers feel we can, they can figure out how to get everything connected and work correctly.
And then the, we talked about storage for the temporary fences for the ball fields.
Yes.
That's worked out?
Yes, we do have storage areas there on site where we could store fencing, temporary fencing there. We can probably make it a little bit bigger than we show it, but we can accommodate that for sure.
And then last, sorry, I didn't think about this sooner. The shade structures, the silo, is that going to be galvanized? Do you know what material that is?
Yeah, it's a actual silo that's a galvanized steel, I believe, and you can paint it, give it different, you know, finishes.
So it's some kind of heat reflective coating. It's going to get hot under that galvanized.
Well, it's all pretty open too, but.
Yeah, so that's a commercially available product that somebody's converted into shade structure?
Yes, yeah.
You might.
Out of Texas.
Of course, out of Texas. Makes sense.
And again,
they have like a reflective coating for the top.
And again, you can give them a different finish, and maybe we can look into a finish that's not so absorbent of the heat or something like that.
Great design. Thanks for your tenacity in sticking with this. The final design looks really good.
And I should mention in the grading, we did have our civil engineer, look at the grading. We have to balance the grading on site. There's going to be some grading. We're going to have to push some dirt around. But the idea is we're not taking any dirt away or bringing dirt in. So we can't change the hydraulics of the site.
Thank you.
Okay, I had one question on the parking to the south. You have that one, is that like a single lane out, like a one directional type of thing?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
We just wanted one point of exit at that southern end. We didn't want to give a resident there was not, he didn't want to see anything on that end, to be honest with you. But we try to place the exit in a way where a car coming up is actually between the two houses. So we just felt like just providing another exit would just help, lessen the traffic within the parking lot.
Yeah, and that is an exit only, not an
exit only.
Right.
Yes.
But is that like a roundabout coming off the parking lot?
Yeah, we have roundabouts on both ends, the northern end, as well as the southern end. So it gives a person an option of going around the roundabout and coming back down to the main entrance, or they can go out the single exit.
I see. Okay. Yeah. No, this is great. I mean, it's a lot of stuff you packed into that, and clearly a lot of things didn't make the list either.
Yeah.
But no, it's a great project. Hopefully, we can afford it. let's get some public comment on it, though. Anybody would like to bring this up and say anything? Okay. Anyone online on this, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay. All right.
So, Mayor Hammond.
Get it back to Pro Tem Gregory. You bet.
I'd like to make a motion.
Sharon Roden. Pardon me. I just wanted to remark that Larry Moore is going to be 95 this year in a couple of months. He actually attended one of the, I took him to one of the meetings for the Parks and Rec, so the folks got to meet him. And I asked him, there's a lot of talk about what we should have, what we shouldn't have. And he said, well, I said, what do you want? It's named after you. He said, the kids need places to play. They need places to play sports. And communities need places to be together. So that's what he wanted. But I want to put my farmer hat on right quick. I saw some new studies that a lot of urban planning is utilizing male trees, pollen. The problem with that, and you know, the females produce the seeds and the fruit, and it's messy and people don't want to deal with it. But the problem is when you plant only male trees, you have volumes of pollen with no absorption. Allergy levels go up. VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds, go up. And the air quality goes down. Now, I know nobody likes cleaning up after, you know, seeds on the ground and everything, but I think as a community, we need to keep that in mind, that it's not always a good idea just to have a certain way so it just kind of looks clean, but think why you want to have male and female trees so that you have the absorption of the pollen as well. That's all I got.
Sound wisdom coming from somebody that knows a little bit about orchards and trees, so thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll come back. Pro Tem Gregory, you were going to take
it from there. Go ahead and make a motion and a comment. I move we approve the Larry Moore Park concept plan, direct staff to complete the design documents and find this action exempt from CEQA pursuant to state guidelines. And I'd like to thank the gentleman who put this together and went through all the public meetings, especially the beginning meeting, and he was writing as fast as he could go. But the people were happy with a lot of the things that you listened to, and the staff was there at all the different meetings. So thank you for a good job on getting this through the public input.
Second.
Motion by Gregory, second by Bausch. Discussion? Call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And let the record show that Councilman Strong left the dais, too. Yeah, thank you. Okay, moving on. We have one more here, pretty much. Item three. Ashley, you're going to have this one. It's the approval of San Luis Obispo County Regional Homeless and Affordable Housing Compact and receipt of the Regional Homeless Services in Inventory. Ashley.
Good evening. Tonight's item reflects both the progress we've made locally and the importance of continuing to work together at a regional level to address homelessness and housing challenges. As outlined in the staff report, homelessness is a complex countywide issue that requires shared responsibility, coordinated planning, and alignment across our jurisdictions. Over the past several years, we've made meaningful progress here in Paso Robles and across Slo County, but we're also facing increasing pressure from limited and declining state and federal resources. That makes strong regional collaboration more important than ever. The Regional Homelessness and Affordable Housing Compact before you tonight is a non-binding collaborative framework designed to align our efforts, improve our competitiveness for funding, and reinforce a shared commitment to addressing homelessness in a thoughtful and effective way. To walk you through the process and date, our progress to date, and provide more detail on the compact, I'd like to invite Linda Belch, Deputy Director of Adult and Homeless Services with the County of Slo, to present. Following the presentation, staff recommends that the City Council approve the resolution approving the Slo County Regional Homelessness and Affordable Housing Compact and receive the Regional Homeless Service Inventory.
Linda, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Thank you so much for this opportunity to present. Homelessness is a regional challenge affecting all communities. Today, I will share a brief progress update, a short funding overview, and share why approving the Regional Homelessness and Affordable Housing Compact is the next necessary step to sustain and accelerate local results. The five-year plan was approved and adopted by the County Board of Supervisors in August of 2022. The plan recognized that addressing homelessness requires partnership across sectors and requires the collective effort of public, private, and nonprofit organizations working together to build a seamless, well-resourced system that is easy to navigate and minimizes barriers for the people we serve. The plan was designed with this shared responsibility in mind. Reaching its goals depends on coordinated efforts by the county, the cities, and community stakeholders. In that spirit, we have worked alongside each other to implement system-wide changes, address gaps, and advance our collective vision. One thing is clear. The five-year plan set aggressive goals and asked for system-wide support, and it is evident from our progress that everyone is showing up and the difference is noticeable. In the past 2 years across the board, we have built system capacity, including a dedicated homeless services division, dedicated homeless services managers embedded with cities, data modernization through HMIS migration, expanded shelter and affordable housing, and targeted behavioral health interventions like the Sobering Center and CAT teams. We launched practical pilots, including a rotating safe parking, overnight parking pilot program, and the Blue Bad Project here on Paso Robles. We also improved coordinated entry processes and the point-in-time count. All of this is underpinned by growing regional collaboration. And the city of Paso Robles has been a key regional leader in all of these efforts, including their strategic plan, expanding resources, and a focus on meeting the needs of the residents of its community. The homeless services system encompasses more than those individuals served on a single night of the point in time count. The system experiences both inflow and outflow as people experience homelessness for the first time or reach permanent destinations. In 2025, our numbers show an encouraging trend as we saw more people exiting the system than entering for the first time. While our HMIS data shows an overall increase in the number of unduplicated persons served between 2022 and 2025, we should consider this a good sign that our investment into revising and strengthening the homeless services system, including migration to the new HMIS, has paid off in a more comprehensive data capture that shows the true scope of need in San Luis Obispo County. At the same time, as measured by the point-in-time count, from 2022 to 2024, the County of San Luis Obispo saw a 31% reduction of individuals experiencing unsheltered homelessness and a 19% reduction in overall homelessness. Our early results from the 2026 point-in-time count indicate we will see another drop in both of these measures, resulting in an overall drop of 24% in total homelessness and a 42% drop in unsheltered homelessness since the plan began. What is most important here is trajectory. The homeless services system saw a 31.7% increase in persons served and a 42.5% decrease in first-time homelessness and a 44.4% increase in permanent housing exits. While improved HMIS participation contributed to better data capture and likely accounts for some of the increase in the numbers of persons served, the decrease in first-time homelessness reflects significant investments in prevention services. At the same time, increased exits correspond with an increase in affordable and supportive housing units coming online. The chart before you shows funding that comes through the Homeless Services Division. One item to note is this is not inclusive of all funding that is invested into the homeless services on an annual basis, as some county departments, such as behavioral health, also receive funds for housing, and those are not included in this chart. Additionally, as demonstrated by the regional inventory, cities also provide funding directly to homeless services providers. However, as a system, our biggest risk is shrinking state and federal funding and a lack of a dedicated ongoing funding source for homeless services. The largest source of funding in the past several years is one-time funding made available through the Homeless Housing Assistance and Prevention, or HAP, program. While there is one more HAP round planned, HAP round 7 has been reduced to $500 million statewide, which is half of what previous rounds have been allocated at. And additionally, by design, counties are eligible for HAP funding based on unsheltered homeless data. This means that San Luis Obispo County will be eligible for less funding in HAP round 6 and 7 than we were in prior rounds because of our success in deploying those dollars and achieving results. North County serving projects received on average about $2.5 to $3 million annually over the previous three fiscal years. Homelessness is a countywide challenge requiring unified action. Actions taken by one jurisdiction can directly affect neighboring communities, making regional coordination essential. The compact formalizes and strengthens this collaboration to improve outcomes, efficiency, and competitiveness for shrinking resources. It focuses on better alignment of efforts and resources and aims to position the county and cities to be more competitive. In 2025, the Homeless Services Division, in collaboration with the county's executive office, worked closely with the steering committee comprised of city managers from Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, and Grover Beach to develop the Regional Homelessness and Affordable Housing Compact. This document recognizes the complexity of addressing homelessness in San Luis Obispo County and sets forth a voluntary collaborative framework through which participating jurisdictions commit to shared principles to guide individual and collective actions. This compact recognizes a simple truth. The vast majority of people experiencing homelessness in San Luis Obispo County have lived in our county for more than 5 years. They are longtime residents, our neighbors, and part of our community. The compact seeks to build momentum and consistency around a shared set of principles. Having shared principles is essential because they give every jurisdiction a common foundation for decision-making. They help us align policies, coordinate services, and pursue joint funding with a stronger, united voice. These principles also ensure we communicate clearly with the public and hold ourselves collectively accountable for measurable progress. The compact helps move the region from a collection of individual efforts toward a more coordinated and mutually reinforcing system of response. Importantly, each jurisdiction maintains its own authority while working toward shared regional priorities. By approving this compact, we strengthen our regional partnerships and position our communities to respond more effectively and position ourselves to be more competitive for state and federal resources. The compact includes a regional homeless services inventory, which documents programs, investments, and services provided by each jurisdiction. The inventory improves transparency and helps identify opportunities to strengthen coordination and address gaps in housing and services across the county. This report provides a comprehensive look at the strategies, investments, and collaborations underway across all 7 cities and the county to address homelessness. It highlights not only the breadth of services being provided, but the strong regional coordination that continues to grow between jurisdictions, service providers, and community partners. I want to highlight 3 data points that stand out as particularly important. First, every city and the county participates in the unsheltered point-in-time count and in the Homeless Services Oversight Council, demonstrating full regional alignment in data collection, system measurement, and systemic decision-making. Second, all jurisdictions contribute funding and resources, directly or indirectly, to core homeless services such as outreach, shelter, and rapid rehousing. This shows a clear countywide commitment to sustaining and investing in the system. Third, the county plays a critical role as a lead for key federal and state compliance activities, including administration of the Homeless Management Information System, oversight of HUD planning and reporting, and serving as the lead applicant for many state and federal funding streams. This core strategic planning and coordination effort supports our region in positioning ourselves to be competitive for funding and maintaining a unified, coordinated approach. The inventory makes one thing clear. Addressing homelessness in San Luis Obispo County is a shared priority and responsibility, and every jurisdiction is showing up. Approving the compact gives us structure without mandates. It formalizes collaboration, aligns our shared principles, strengthens competitiveness for grants, and promotes clear communication with the public. It also helps us manage encampments with empathy while maintaining safety and stewardship. To be explicit, the compact does not transfer zoning or land use authority. It does not obligate new spending. It is not a JPA and does not impose programs or policies. Each jurisdiction keeps full autonomy. Approving the compact builds on the collaboration that is already working. It strengthens our eligibility for scarce funds, reduces duplication, and improves outcomes with shared accountability. It is low risk and high impact. Thank you, and I'm available for any questions.
Linda, are we complete on that one then? So,
yeah. So, can I ask a question?
Sure, we're ready for questions.
All right. Come on back up to the mic. So I want to read Exhibit A. Promote transparency and accountability. We will share data and communicate clearly with the public. you have also comments, strengthens data sharing, data and communication. Why don't we have the information for them at HMIS?
So,
can you explain that? We are contributing, we're paying for it as taxpayers, and you're not sharing that with the city of Paso Robles. Is there a reason?
So your question is the specific HMIS data for the city of Paso Robles?
For the county.
So there is there's two data dashboards that are available to the public. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the county's homeless system that is on the DSS website, there is a dashboard that has HMIS data for the county that is available that outlines multiple different data points that are available for you to look at. We are also in the process of working with IT to make a real-time dashboard that can actually be changed and kind of manipulated in different ways. Having real live data is understandably a more complicated measure than one might imagine. So that's going to be a little bit further out. That is in process. Then for the city of Paso Robles in specific, actually just today we were able to finally get to a place of having a report specific for the city that has your city specific data. We've gone through several iterations of that over the past several months, working with Ashley, who's been super wonderful about advocating for what you need. And that was actually just provided earlier today.
So my reason for my question is that we're taking this matter very seriously and homelessness and trying to give it as much care as we can. And these are tools that we can use to help provide better service. As you can see how the effort that Ashley's putting into her work for us. So as a council person, I'm concerned because I like sharing information with everybody.
Sure.
Especially when it's a regional problem, countywide, north countywide, everywhere. And the more you share and the more you give us, the easier it is to plan. I'm not against this process, but I want shared information, and everybody wants that. So that's my comment on it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Anything over here on the side? Chris Bausch. Okay. Let's open up to the public. Anyone have a question on this one? Please come forward.
All right. This is my witching hour. You guys ready to go to 3 a.m.? Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I already spoke with Linda and Ashley. This is part two of what I was to say earlier. I spoke with a lot of the local advocates, because I know Chris isn't. They come to me. So what we discussed in the end was that what they find would be really helpful in this city is having a resource center for the homeless. I said to Ashley, there's one thing that's different of what Kimberly Booth is doing and placing 12 to 13 people in a short period, and what Echo is doing and everybody else is mail. Once their mail became consistent, things like social security processes, going to appointments, getting to the doctor, getting their mental health checks, those things start happening when people get their mail. So speaking with Kimberly, Bob, and other people, what they're, you know, and I, just to preface this, I worked with every homeless advocacy agency in the Bay Area for 14 years. Well, since I was a kid. I mean, we're talking about San Francisco, Oakland, and Coco County's finest. I did primarily disabled children cases for 10 years. But when I did do hands-on with homeless, but my favorite part was when I was a kid, about 19 years old, working at a resource center that had everything available. So what I wanted to say as part two is that I'm hoping that somewhere along the line with the $20 million that the county received, I'm hoping we can get more money from them, or then maybe Echo can maybe surrender another room, and or the city can find a room where our homeless can go get their mail, because their mail is general delivery if they don't have a home address, and you see the riverbed where it is to the post office. It's a good 2 to 3 mile walk, and I've spoken to a couple of the homeless about that, and they don't go there to pick up their mail. I've been told that Echo has thrown their mail away. So I don't know if you guys remember, but I sued the city a couple years ago, and in that request, I asked for $1 million to buy the casino. You know, I don't know how you do this, Chris, but I have a vision for the homeless here and my district, okay? So that casino, the reason why I wanted that $1 million, because I want that to be a vocational hub for the homeless. I wanted it to be a kitchen, job skills, soft skills, hard skills, and then at night convert it into a shelter.
That would mean that place could hold up to 50 beds at night. There are so many things that we can do to make this happen now, and I give my commitment to Linda and Ashley. If they move forth and they're willing to do a resource center, I will call that a happy medium, because I know the casino was sold. So that was my main reasoning for adding that $1 million in for the casino, because I think that corner, Black Oak Corner, should be a vocational hub for the homeless.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll close public comment and bring it back to council for direction and or action. Item three. No? You want to make a motion on it?
Move to approve resolution 26-XXX, approving the San Luis Obispo County Regional Homelessness and Affordable Housing Compact, and receive the Regional Homeless Services Inventory.
Okay, we have a motion by Beal.
I'll second.
I'll second, okay. Gregory, second. For discussion, none? We'll call for the question then.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good, thank you. Item four was deferred to a date uncertain, so we'll move on past that. Chris, what, you need to get on the road, so.
Yeah. I'll defer my update until a future meeting.
Very good, and I'm gonna push on our council business. Now, there's something really important that one of the council wants to share.
I think we defer.
Okay, there you go. So council is good on that. Upcoming events, airport master plan is gonna be tomorrow, April 22nd, 5:30. The development review committee is April 27th at 4 p.m. Coffee with the city, manager and budget overview priorities for April 30th, 7:30 at the Patina Room, Gulf Coast Brewery. Development DRC meeting is gonna be April 4th at 4 p.m. City council meeting is gonna be the next one here for May 5th at 6 p.m. Norris Room.
Move to adjourn.
I was expecting. All right, we have a motion by Gregory, second. Oh, okay, good. All right, second by Bausch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Stand adjourned.
Thank you for listening to tonight's Paso Robles City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled program in progress. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
Get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Veterans and active duty service members, when your call to service ends, your mission doesn't have to. Go from GI to IT in just a few months at My Computer Career. Prepare for a high-demand career in cybersecurity, protecting people, systems, and institutions from real cyber threats. Cyber warriors are needed now. Will you answer the call? Go to mycomputercareer.edu/CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Brought to you by Central Coast Track to Work. Excavation, trenching, mowing, and more. No job is too small. Clouds tonight and overnight. Lows right around 40, upper 60s. Clouds and sunshine for Wednesday, mid-70s Thursday. Weather was brought to you by Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
This April, refresh your skin and renew your glow at Spa Allegretto in Paso Robles. Book the ultimate skin refresh facial and enjoy a complimentary eye and lip mask treatment designed to hydrate, brighten, and leave you feeling radiant. Relax in the tranquil setting of Allegretto Vineyard Resort, where wellness meets luxury right here on the Central Coast. Appointments are limited, so reserve your April facial today. Call Spa Allegretto or visit AllegrettoVineyardResort.com to book.
The savings are warming up at your camping and clothing headquarters for the North County D&J Camping and Clothing. 20% off Wrangler men's and women's Pearl Snap shirts. Wolverine boots 20% off. And at D&J, you'll find rattlesnake-proof gaiters and chaps, along with all the camping gear, including tents and sleeping bags and all the accessories. Don't forget, gift certificates are available and special orders are welcome. D&J Camping and Clothing, 24th and Park in Paso Robles.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Matt's Smog is more than smog. They do oil changes as well, and they offer unique oil services with supplemental oil additives and fuel system cleaners, brake work and diagnostics as well. All vehicles receive a comprehensive 29-point inspection, but most importantly, there are no high-pressure sales tactics. Matt's Smog takes care of more than your car. They take care of you. Call 805-237-2601 or head to 834 Paso Robles Street in Paso for Matt's Smog and more.
CNC Tree Service, locally owned by Randall and Shannon Clegg for 38 years. Tree removal, trimming, cabling, corrective pruning, stump grinding, brush and road clearance. They have the equipment for any residential or commercial job. If you want instant shade with mature trees, they have the only spade truck in the area to plant or move your large trees. CNC has moved oaks, manzanita, olives, palms, pepper, and various others. Licensed and insured, member of the International Society of Arboriculture. Call 805-434-0914.
Democrat Party activist Jake Tapper of CNN went on Democrat Party activist Stephen Colbert's TV show last night. The Democrat Party really pays a lot of propagandists. They've secured information dominance. And Jake Tapper went on Stephen Colbert last night. And I want to share with you a part of the exchange when we come back after the top of the hour. So we're fighting for free press, freedom of speech, and wait till you hear this crock of hooey that these guys, I got to tell you, these guys and the propaganda apparatus of the Democrat Party is absolutely extraordinary. Also in the United Kingdom, that's not America at all, the BBC reporting, smoking ban for people born after 2008 in the UK agreed. So wait a minute. Children under 17 and younger will face a lifelong ban on buying cigarettes, and the tobacco and vape bill clears Parliament. Both the House of Commons and the House of Lords have settled on the final draft of the landmark legislation that aims to stop anyone born after January 1st, 2009, from taking up smoking and creating a